Well, welcome back to the show. We have Rusty Gregory with us. Rusty Gregory, you with us?
I'm with you.
All right. Well, you live in Austin, don't you?
Yes, I do.
Yeah,
Austin's
lucky to have you because you've changed a lot of lives. We have somebody with me today that's a doctor of naturopathy.
Yeah, it's nice to see the work that you're doing and kind of raising people's level of awareness and self-work to moving towards health. So we're glad to have you, Rusty.
Well, thank you very much for having me on your show today. I really do appreciate it. Like you said, I'm here in Austin, and
I've
graduated from Westlake High School back in 1985 and went off to school, came back, and started a personal training business. And have been doing that ever since.
So you got healthy at the Westlake Deli, didn't you, at the People's Farm?
Yeah, there you go, exactly.
Well, I knew. We had to plug that, didn't we? So,
sure.
You know, you got a BS in commercial and industrial fitness.
Yes, that was back in the day. That was before they realized it sounded better to say exercise science or kinesiology.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
I was gonna say, so now, I've never heard that.
And then I went on to get a graduate degree in kinesiology.
I see.
But, yeah.
And Texas Tech.
Right.
Then you went to Michigan, University of Michigan.
Yes. Yes.
So you've been around a little bit. So you.
I have.
And you want? Well, you wanted to make sure that you had a lot of information.
Exactly. Well, I wasn't ready to hit the real world once I graduated from Tech. And it's interesting how it all worked out. Once I graduated from Michigan, I came back to Austin, and Austin being progressive in the sense of health and fitness, kind of, ahead of most cities, I guess. We're just starting the personal training field. It was new at the time, back in the early 90s. And, I came out with a bunch of information that I thought I knew everything and started training people and realized I knew very little. And that being mainly how to motivate people, which is, I think, a huge component in our overall health and our health care as it stands today. Motivating people to take action. We're inundated with health information. We've been told now for not years but decades of how important exercise is for us, or the consequences of being inactive, eating a healthy diet, getting proper amounts of sleep, not smoking. We've been hit with these messages for decades. And yet, if you look at, we're fatter, we're sicker, we're more sleep deprived and stressed out than ever before. So why is that?
Yeah, that's a good point, because you talk about seven reasons why your healthy living, in quotes, why your healthy living isn't as healthy as you think.
Right.
And I think you're right. A lot of people think they've got healthy living because they don't eat something. They don't eat the McDonald's or whatever, or the bad meat. But I think that if you eat out a lot, by the way, Dr. Andrew Weary is really a big fan of yours.
Yes.
You know him?
Oh, yes. He's one of my clients.
Yeah.
Known him for years.
He's
great.
As an MD, he's really into healthy living for his patients. He's probably sends you patients. He should.
Oh, yeah.
It'd be great if doctors did that more. But, for instance, stress. Your stress is out of control. People don't realize that they're under stress. I'm the same way. I get under stress, and I just think it's just natural. It's just part of me, I guess. But it's not good to be under stress, is it, as you get older?
Well, if we're looking at the whole total person here, and we're exercising on a regular basis, if we're just taking time aside from our work and play a little bit more, and we end up dealing with our stress and probably not even realizing it. I mean, if we are exercising like we're told to do, 150 minutes of moderate exercise a week or 75 rigorous minutes a week, we'd be taking more of that into our own hands. But we're not doing that. And stress is getting the better of us. It's acting out in disease, as is all these other things. And so the question is, how do we bridge the gap from the health information that we've gotten to actually taking action? And That's the real question. Well,
the action is a problem sometimes.
And just, I want to reiterate how important it is in how we relate to our stress. Because there's actually, I was at a reading something the other day, and it was talking about how if you're really healthily and kind of relating to your stress, and you're relating to having good balance in your life, that stress actually is one of the most important motivators you have. People who actually have stress, and instead of villainizing your stress, right, instead of like getting really down on yourself for having a lot of stress, that if you recognize that your stress is what motivates you to make it through a challenge, it's what gets you up there in front of 100 people to give a talk, right? That's a really stressful situation for most of us.
Absolutely.
That stress is a really positive thing, and actually when you relate to your stress as though it is something that is going to be get you through a challenging situation, it shows up physiologically like courage in your body. And I think this is a really important thing. I just am recently on a kick not to villainize stress, but it's so important what you're doing in terms of motivating people to balance their stress so that it's healthy stress. That's where I think it really shifts the game for people. We're all going to have stress, and it's actually can be a really positive thing, but it's making sure that we're balancing it.
Absolutely. And, you know, fear is a stressor, right? And that oftentimes is our best motivator to act. So if you use that in constructive ways, absolutely.
And it's a delicate balance between, I think, so much of the work that you do and in having a wellness journal is kind of keeping people motivated and accountable. We get information all the time, you know, how many top 10 lists do you see of different exercises that you can do every day? But, you know, what is it that makes that change from getting off the couch to doing those 10 exercises or those 30 minutes of walking?
Right. Well, in my book, Self-Care Reform, I talk about that, and that's I'm trying to identify that one motivator, that one thing that really strikes you, the most important thing to you that matters the most, and using that to play off of that. And then for some people, that's fear. You know, they get diagnosed with a particular disease, and that strikes enough fear to take action.
Yeah.
Hopefully it's not that, and you can do it before you're diagnosed. That's the idea of prevention, but... Right. Sometimes that's what it takes.
Yeah, and it can just as easily be something really motivating. I know a lot of my clients that I work with, we do a lot of lifestyle modification, and exercise and diet are a big factors in that. And often it's about making sure that you're going to be healthy and alive long enough to be around for your grandkids to graduate from high school or for your grandkids to hit major milestones. And that level of like wanting to be around to share the love that you have in your life with those people looking forward, those can also be really powerful motivators, so that if you think about putting on your tennis shoes and getting out and exercising for 30 minutes is to be there for your kids and your grandkids or your siblings, that's also really powerful.
Absolutely. I have that. And that's true with several of my clients. That very one issue is be around for grandkids. They want to see them graduate. They want to see them get married. They want to, you know, roll around with them on the floor, go hiking with them.
Well, the book is called Self-Care Reform.
Yes.
And we're talking to the author, Rusty Gregory, and there's also a workbook to go with it. And you don't have to get the wellness journal, I guess. You keep a journal of what you're doing, right?
Right.
This is a record of what you're doing. I think that's an idea that's good, because otherwise people, you know, you don't have to, I don't know, I don't like to do that too much, but if you start lifting weights, I think lifting weights is a great way to start on a program, my personal opinion. I don't know if you agree, but I see people so much as I'm 72 a week from today. So I see a lot of people my age that their knees are just, they were running, they were jogging. We were out jogging together, and now their knees are messed up. They can ride bicycles. That's about all they can do. So they've kind of blew out their knees. I don't know what happened. But there's not a lot of surgery that they're finding out that you really can do permanently to solve the problem. So I think lifting weights, start out slowly, walking and lifting weights. Would you think that's the best thing to do?
Yes, I do. But most important, it's finding out what it is you want to do. You know, all the different forms of exercise offer different benefits, and it's good to kind of have your hand in on several different things. But if you're told to do something, you're less apt to start it or sustain it than if you choose it yourself.
Yep.
And so what I'm trying to do, at least with my book, is to help people understand that it's they need to decide what is best for them. They know their body better than anybody.
Right. You're right.
And what they're going to do long term. And this is a lifestyle. It's not a start end point. It's from now until the day you die. You know, it's a lifestyle, and that's what I hope people will do, is we'll use it as such.
Mm-hmm. Well, we got to get you back on, because this is too good. But I think that in lifting weights, you said it makes you happy. Lifting weights can make you happy. Is that right?
You bet it does.
Really? Isn't that interesting that people think that runner's high is what you do?
Right.
But you can actually get a high, a little high, just from lifting weights.
Oh, yeah, in a very similar manner. It's you know, it's more of a circuit-type training, but you can establish that as well, just like runners.
Mm-hmm. So you get confidence in your life?
Endorphins, you betcha.
Right.
Confidence when you accomplish goals. You do things that you don't think you're able to lift weights that you never thought you could.
Mm-hmm.
You're now doing. Transferring that over into other areas of your life can boost confidence.
And the thing you mentioned is that people... Our researchers are finding that they still find more things that are good about lifting weights.
So constantly, and with research, information's good, and it's needed, and it's necessary. And all this research that we keep getting day in, day out, and it's great. It just doesn't appear to be enough. What needs to be is, you know, something to bridge that gap between the information that we get and actually taking action. But, yeah, we're always finding out new things about, look at the nutrition. Diet nutrition is kind of taking a turn right now, and sugars being more villainized than ever before.
Oh, yeah. It's
you know, we're seeing that. And actually, I wrote another book, and it's coming out on Monday, and it's Living Wheat-Free for Dummies. And one of our main things is cutting sugar from your diet. And that is... particularly why, because of its association with increased insulin levels and all that. But we villainized fat for so long, and we're kind of turning the corner there as well. So there's always new stuff coming out.
Right. I mean, who would have thought that the wheat we have today is so different than the wheat I grew up with 40, 50 years ago?
Isn't that amazing?
It's causing health problems. It causes wheat causes one of the staples of our whole society, and corn. Now it's GM, and we don't know what the problems are there. We don't know. We're learning, aren't we?
That's exactly right.
So the best way is to avoid anything that's been used the last 100 years.
In essence, I guess, you know, you can talk to certain water. People, and they'll tell you got to eat the way we did, you know, 10, 12, 15,000 years ago.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's not necessarily a bad idea.
Well, the paleo diet has become so popular, too.
Exactly.
Is that your book is about the pro-paleo and anti-wheat, the wheat belly and all that?
Well, it's got, you know, we started with the living wheat-free, and it kind of morphed into all grains and go into great detail about that, but also going low carb, establishing a low sugar diet, and ridding your diet of vegetable and seed oils as well,
yeah,
because of the inflammatory effect of the omega-6s.
That's right.
And it throws your omega-6, omega-3 ratio all out of whack.
Well, Rusty Gregory, let's talk about, we got a minute or two left. So what would be the take home that people should get out of your book, and why should they get it?
To help bridge that gap, we've all heard the information, mm-hmm, of the importance of exercise to change our diet, to eat healthy.
Mm-hmm.
There's great debate there as to what a healthy diet exactly is, but we all pretty much know what we should not be eating.
Mm-hmm.
We need to, you know, get sleep. We need to stop smoking. We need to do the things that are necessary to good health. Take that information and then apply it to what is most important to us. What are our motivators? Is it watching our grandkids grow up? Is it fear? What is it that drives us most, that evokes this really strong emotional reaction or response in us? And take that, apply it to well-written SMART goals, journal your progress with an accountability buddy, and you'll be set to go. Mm-hmm. And you'll establish routines over my journal's a 3-month journal, mm-hmm. and over that time period, you'll establish the routines, healthy routines and behaviors that lead to good health and longevity.
Well, what I find with my employees is I'll ask them what excites them. There's a book out about that, actually.
Yeah.
It's not my idea. You ask somebody what excites them. And if it's, dealing with people or working with people or management, whatever, then you know that you can do that. You can work with a person. But if it's working in a lab and a pharmacist just working in the lab and come up with a new product, like I work in a chemistry lab. There's people who like to work in chemistry labs. Mm-hmm. Well, they're not going to be good at management. So I think if it excites you, and probably what your job will be is to get with people and see what excites them. And sure. And if they want to get someplace, you can help them, can't you?
Absolutely. I mean, it's that emotional response.
Right.
It can be positive, it can be negative, and it can be anything in between.
Right.
It's just, what is it that gets your attention? That's what gets you.
Well, I like the cover on the book here. Let's see. Uncle Sam?
Yes.
I don't remember Uncle Sam looking at this, but that's okay.
That's sickly. Yes.
Okay, right. I want you, he's saying. I want you. I want you to be healthy. I want you to come join us, okay?
That's right. Exactly.
Well, Rusty is really good. Self-care reform. It's available at bookstores and...
Well, it's available on Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com.
Okay, and your new book coming out?
Yes, Living Wheat Free for Dummies, and that'll be on the bookstore shelves Monday, I'm told, Barnes & Noble, and I'm trying to get book people to get it. They said that they would, and of course, you can also order it online as well.
Yeah.
At Amazon and Barnes & Noble.
Well, I wish I could say you mentioned my name, and they might get it, but it probably wouldn't, so...
I'll do that.
Yeah, Rusty, thank you so much.
Thank y'all so much for having me.
All right.
Really do appreciate
it. We'll come back. We'll get you back soon, okay?
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
Thanks again.
All right.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.